searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
Merry Christmas and welcome into the Friday edition, the Friday the 13th edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping that all is well with you and yours and that you are in the Christmas spirit. It is the 13th day of December. It also just happens to be a Friday. That means nothing to me, but some people are like, Friday the 13th. Well, you should study the history of the day, and you'll understand why, for the people involved on that day, it was pretty unlucky. Not so much for you, though. It is a it's a weekend kickoff version of the podcast, as usual. We're celebrating the fact that the weekend is here and that you get a chance to unplug a little bit, to ignore the lunacy that's going on in Washington, D.C., and whatever else the news media is lying about today, and just enjoy life. And this time of the year, that's a little bit easier, and it's a bit more fun because we're in the midst of the Christmas holidays, less than 2 weeks away from the day itself, and counting down. And the kids are getting excited, and the adults are getting frantic because they don't have all their Christmas shopping done, and that pretty much spells out my day today. You know, I told you, I guess it was last week, that all my Christmas shopping is done. And actually, there was one item I had left, and I got that handled last night. And I just remembered, actually, there is one more item. So maybe today we'll get that one worked out. But my wife, Jane, sweetest woman in the world, off work today. And so she has declared that once the podcast is finished and I've wrapped up all the details for today, that I belong to her and that I am her chauffeur for a day of Christmas shopping. I cannot tell you how excited I am about this. I will be spending a lot of time in the car on my phone, scanning social media and the news and sharing on the Daily Perspective podcast, Facebook and Twitter feeds. That's what I'll be doing. I mean, once I have found what I'm looking for today, I'm out. I mean, all I am is the driver. Did you find what you need? Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Well, where's next? Where are we going? And that'll be my day today. So I guess the upside is that I'll get to have something, you know, different for lunch today. we'll find some place to eat. Maybe I can persuade her to go for barbecue. That would be great. Ooh, anyway, but that's pretty much going to be my day. And the weekend, I just don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't have a heck of a lot of plans for the weekend. Because at this time of the year, it's not wise to make a lot of plans because you just never know what's going to happen. Like today, you're going to get yanked every which direction. So go with the flow. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at my list of stuff, the things that I think are absurd to talk about today in the first segment. Okay, here we go. It turns out that polling in the UK is just as ludicrous as polling in the US. You see, the pollsters in the UK were predicting a tight, tight, tight race, a tight election, a tight vote in the UK for prime minister. Yesterday, not so much. Boris Johnson won in a landslide. It was huge. The exit vote, the exit polling looks like he has just carried it away by leaps and bounds that the Conservatives in the UK are going to be regaining a lot of seats in Parliament, and that the Labour Party, the Liberals, the commies, I'm sorry, I just have to call them the Socialists, are going to lose. I think the last time I saw it was something like 15 seats, which is historic. It hasn't happened in decades. It's been a long, long time since they've lost that many. But the polling said, ooh, going to be tight. Don't know if Boris Johnson can pull this off. Ooh, looks terrible. Sound familiar? Yeah. You see, England has fake news, too, and they've had it for a long, long time. So the polling there is just as fake as the polling here. polling. Remember, polls are not designed to reflect public opinion. Polls are designed to influence public opinion. Oh, well, everybody thinks this way. Maybe I should look at that. That's the purpose of polling. And so it's been going on in England as well. So congrats to the Conservatives in the UK. You've got a crazy guy as your leader, kind of like we do here, who hopefully will get Brexit done for you, because the people, they had a referendum and the people said, yeah, we want out of European Union. We don't like the socialist plan. We don't like what they're doing. We want our country to govern itself without someone else telling us what we have to do. That was the popular vote. Talk about the popular vote. The popular vote was get us out. We want out. And since the parliament, since the government has been controlled by socialists, by leftists, by liberals, they've been dragging their feet. They've been finding ways to get out of it. They've been taking votes which have undermined the will of the people. And now the people have spoken again. Oh, well, fine. You're going to ignore our vote. Let's put people in office who won't ignore our vote. Let this be a lesson here. Because coming up next year, we've got a choice. And here in America, Americans need to make a choice for conservative values. And they need to put conservatives in office at every level if we want to right the course of this country and prevent the socialists from condemning us to a life governed by some other body of people instead of ourselves. Remember, it's a government here of, by, and for the people. We do not need to allow anyone else, like the UN, to tell us how to run things here. They've ruined things everywhere else. We can't allow it to happen here. That's the first item in the absurdity list. Next up, Snopes. Oh, come on. The humorless scolds over at Snopes have stepped in it again, this time emailing the White House to ascertain whether President Trump is aware that the Babylon Bee is a satire website after he retweeted one of their articles Wednesday. No, seriously, this really happened. The story is coming from PJ Media. It all started when Jenna Ellis, the senior White House legal counsel, tweeted out a Babylon Bee story and added the comment, the Bee mocking the Dems. We've found Trump guilty of absolutely nothing, but we already started this whole process and it would look bad to back out now. So here we are. Which, by the way, was very funny. She added several lighthearted emojis and everyone thought it was hilarious, including President Trump, who retweeted her, along with 4,000 other Twitter users. So everybody had a good laugh and moved on with their lives. No, just kidding. Everyone but Dan Evon, an intrepid reporter for Snopes, had a good laugh and moved on with their lives. Adam Ford, the founder of the Babylon Bee, reported that Discern, that's his recently launched news site, that he reported there that Evon actually emailed the White House to ask about the tweet. Snopes Dan Evon, who has previously collided with the Babylon Bee when he assigned nefarious motives to a satirical Bee article in a supposedly objective fact check, prompted a threat of legal action from the comedy outlet, sent his concerns to the White House in an email reviewed by Discern. Here's what this breathless crack reporter from Snopes had a burning desire to know. Quote, President Trump recently retweeted a post from Jenna Ellis Esquire containing a fake quote from an entertainment article. Was President Trump aware that this quote was fake when he sent it? If so, why wasn't it accompanied by a message labeling the quote as fiction? Yeah, Dan. Everyone, well, who doesn't work for Snopes, is aware that the ubiquitous Babylon Bee is a purveyor of satire, and no one except the very earnest and sober-minded journalist at Snopes believes all jokes must be explained and labeled with a disclaimer for those who have been diagnosed with a humor-related psychological disorder. Holy cow. This is emblematic. This is symptomatic of progressivism. And you've probably run into this in meetings, wherever you work. If you end up in meetings, you know, staff meetings, and where you discuss things and someone raises their hand and says, yeah, but don't you think we should explain why this is the way it is? No, because people with average intelligence, you know, the average guy or gal who has at least two brain cells that can produce a spark understands, oh, that's a joke. Ah. And thus, it's absurd. And let's see, what else do we have? Oh, God. This is nuts. This is crazy. Coming from DailyWire.com. Democrat Representative Cedric Richmond of Louisiana was accused of watching the President's Cup golf tournament during the Democrats' impeachment hearing last night in the House Judiciary Committee. The incident, which was noticed by GOP Rapid Response Director Steve Guest, appears to show Richmond not taking the Democrats' impeachment hearing seriously, as he was clearly focused on the golf tournament. Guest tweeted out a video showing Richmond watching golf and added, "What on earth is Democrat Representative Cedric Richmond watching on his laptop during this impeachment markup? To me, it looks like Representative Richmond is watching the President's Cup golf tournament. Richmond's actions are a disgrace." In the video he posted, Richmond can be seen at the bottom of the screen, right above CNN's breaking news chyron, wearing a light gray suit. In a second tweet, Guest zoomed in, and the video clearly shows. It's a bit blurry, but you can tell he's watching golf. Professional golfer Bob Estes, he seems to recognize the footage. He posted on Twitter, "Even though he's a Democrat, I'm going to give Representative Richmond a pass on this one. Hey, President's Cup." Well, prior to being caught watching golf, Richmond said, "We have an emergency to national election going on right now." He tweeted this. "Our oath to the Constitution requires us to take this dramatic, solemn, and regrettable step, but it's necessary because if we don't protect America's precious right to vote, it's clear that the other side won't. Today, I'm reminded of Judas, because Judas, for 30 pieces of silver, betrayed Jesus. For 30 positive tweets for easy re-election, the other side's willing to betray the American public, their precious right to vote, and the future of our great country." And then he watched a golf tournament during the hearings. I looked at it. He's watching a golf tournament. It's obvious. There's no denying it. The Democrats have not taken this. They come out to the TV cameras and they talk about how serious this is. And then they do things like this. And it's because they're in complete control. And as long as they're in complete control, they don't care about anybody else's input. Evidenced by the fact that Jerry Nadler, last night about midnight, instead of going forward and taking a vote after they'd done all this work, decided to adjourn. He adjourned to wrap things up today. Astounded Republicans fumed last night, late, as House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler abruptly wrapped up a marathon hearing on the adoption of two articles of impeachment against President Trump by delaying planned votes on the matter until today, until this morning. He said, "It's now very late at night. I want the members on both sides of the aisle to think about what's happened over these last 2 days and to search their consciences before we cast their final votes. Before the committee will now, the committee will now stand in recess until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., at which point I will move to divide the question so that each of us may have the opportunity to cast up or down votes on each of the articles of impeachment. Let history be our judge." Well, of course, Ranking Representative Doug Collins, the Republican of Georgia, raised an immediate objection as Nadler began leaving. Actually, he's objecting. Speaking into his microphone, Nadler is standing up. He and the Democrats are all gathering up their stuff and leaving. And the Republicans, they're, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." And Collins says, "You didn't consult? You didn't ask? You didn't say a thing about this?" He called it a kangaroo court. It was the most Bush League stunt he'd ever seen. Other people said, "Wow." Other people chimed in as well. And as he was addressing the issue, they turned his microphone off. You had to listen hard and crank your audio up so you could get the TV camera audio, because they turned his mic off. It was insane. Absolutely insane. But there we have the absurdity of what's going on in D.C. right now. They go back in again today. There's two reasons this happened. One, there's no viewership at midnight. There was nobody there, nobody watching TV to see it happen. That's why. That's the primary reason. Secondary reason, The UK election got a lot of attention. A lot of attention. Democrats want to stretch this out for another day to pull the focus back on what they're doing. The news media was distracted by the UK election last night, and they weren't getting all of the attention they wanted. You combine that with the fact that at midnight there's nobody watching TV, and so they decided to adjourn and come back this morning at 10 a.m. when they can have the full attention of the news media and anybody else who cares to watch. That tells you what you need to know. This is all a stunt. It's all a TV show. It's all produced. It's all orchestrated. And not a bit of it is constitutionally accurate, real, or reliable. It's all a sham. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective, heading into the weekend. Less than 2 weeks away from Christmas. This stunt they pulled last night, the stunt Jerry Nadler and the Democrats pulled last night, it's just one more reason Americans dislike Congress so much. It's why Congress has a 9% approval rating. 9%. It's because Americans look at this tomfoolery. Yes, I use the word tomfoolery. It's what popped into my brain. They look at all of this insanity, and they shake their heads, and they say, those people are crazy. Why don't people vote them out of office? And then these same Americans go back and vote for the same people they've always voted for, instead of learning. And that's what we have to do. As I said before about the UK, that's an example. We need to learn from their example. It's time to clean house. It's time to get rid of these people who are doing what Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi just did. By the way, did you see where Nancy Pelosi admitted in an interview that the whole impeachment process has actually been going on for 2.5 years? She actually said so out loud in front of God and everybody and a TV camera. She actually admitted it. They've been working on this impeachment process since the day Donald Trump was elected. And I have an article by Victor Davis Hanson I want to read to you a little bit later on that talks about that in a lot more detail, and it reminds us of what we've actually gone through. What we've actually gone through in this last 2.5 years. But before we move on any further to anything else that's going to make you mad, how about something that might make you happy? There's a woman in Colorado who got sick of the porch pirates. And you know what I'm talking about. We all shop online nowadays, so we're accustomed to coming home and seeing boxes on our front porch. And I know I am. That's one of the reasons that I installed a doorbell camera about a year ago. Because two reasons. I knew I was about to have knee surgery, and I was not going to be able to climb up and down the stairs because we have the split foyer. You walk in the door, you're taking stairs either up or down. One of the two. And to get to the front door, to answer the door when people would, you know, bring stuff, or when the physical therapy people with home health would come to help me to begin with the knee surgery, I was going to have to open the door or somehow let people know, hey, it's unlocked, come on in. And so this way, you know, I got that. And we had a couple of instances where packages were marked as delivered. We got the messages and we would get home and there were no packages. They had disappeared, and it eventually turned out that there were dogs in the neighborhood taking packages off the porch. But I didn't know that. But now there's a doorbell camera out there. And one of the reasons you do that is because of porch piracy. Well, this woman gave some porch pirates a taste of their own medicine. What she did was she took Amazon packages that she had received. She filled them up with garbage and put them back on the front porch. Christine Hyatt told KKTV in Colorado Springs that thieves have stolen at least 20 packages from her porch. And last Wednesday was the third time she was able to dupe the criminals into removing her garbage for free. She said, we forget to set our trash out for Thanksgiving. So we were overflowing with trash. I've had packages stolen and I went, you know what? I have extra boxes. Let's see if someone will take our trash. She says the thefts are more than just inconvenient. Among the items that have been stolen was her daughter's diabetes medication. She said she can't afford to have her own medication stolen just because people are jerks. This is my way of fighting back. In her next package, she plans to include cigarette butts, kitty litter, and fast food wrappers. She says, my daughter told me that's gross, but they deserve it. She's absolutely right. They do deserve it. I can't remember which sitcom it was, but it was a long, long time ago where somebody on the sitcom around the Christmas season, they were talking about there being a garbage strike in New York, and their solution for the garbage strike and not letting it pile up around their apartment was to wrap the garbage as Christmas presents and put them on the backs, put it all in the boxes on the back seat of the car and leave the car unlocked. And of course the result was that people would open the car up and steal the packages. All I can say to you, Christine Hyatt in Colorado Springs, Colorado, good for you. Good for you. Excellent work. Excellent work. There you go. That's for you. Oh my gosh. And now back to the drudgery. Coming from dailycaller.com, former Attorney General Eric Holder delivered a scathing attack on the current Attorney General William Barr, calling him unfit to lead in an op-ed published by the Washington Post on Wednesday. Holder, who served as former President Barack Obama's Attorney General from 2009 to 2015, once described himself as Obama's wingman, attacked Barr in the op-ed for partisan statements and actions. The former AG began by stating that he is typically reluctant to publicly criticize those who come after him. Really? Quote, but recently Attorney General William P. Barr has made a series of public statements and taken actions that are so plainly ideological, so nakedly partisan, and so deeply inappropriate for America's chief law enforcement official that they demand a response from someone who held the same office. Holder continued to note multiple instances that he viewed as unfitting for an AG. He condemned Barr's remarks at a Federalist Society event last month, arguing that the AG was calling for essentially unbridled executive power, dismissing the authority of the legislative and judicial branches and the checks and balances at the heart of America's constitutional order. Holder asserted that the commentary showed Barr is a partisan actor. Barr in his speech condemned the left for engaging in the systematic shredding of norms and the undermining of the rule of law during the speech Holder referenced. He said, not long after Barr made that speech, he issued what seemed to be a bizarre threat to anyone who expresses insufficient disrespect for law enforcement, suggesting that if communities don't give that support and respect, they might find themselves without the police protection they need. Just a note here. It's very obvious exactly what William Barr meant. And that is that if communities don't respect law enforcement won't respect the communities and will go elsewhere to find work. This has already happened in America. This has already happened. I don't recall, I don't have the notes with here, but there was a community, it was a small place, where the police department just said, well, forget this. And they disbanded, they left, they shut down. Because they were getting no respect and no help from their community. This will happen. And that's what Attorney General William Barr was talking about. It wasn't a threat. It was a comment. But of course, the wingman, Holder, decided to make it a threat. He goes on to say, no one who understands, let alone truly respects, the impartial administration of justice or the role of law enforcement could ever say such a thing. What a jackwagon this man is. He called Barr's comments about law enforcement antithetical to the most basic tenets of equality and justice. Really? Holder also condemned Barr for not siding with the FBI and Justice Department's Office of the Inspector General regarding how surveillance of a Trump campaign aide was handled. Quote, having spent the majority of my career in public service, I found it extraordinary to watch the nation's chief law enforcement officer officially claim, without offering any evidence, that the FBI acted in bad faith when it opened an inquiry into then-candidate Donald Trump's campaign. The FISA report, released Monday, found the FBI made 17 significant errors and omissions when applying for warrants. 17. And as I've said a couple of times, when all 17 favor your political opposition, they aren't errors and omissions. They're intentional. Barr took office as AG in the Trump administration in February of this year. Holder wrote in the op-ed's conclusion, William Barr has proved he's incapable of serving as such an attorney general. He's unfit to lead the Justice Department. Obama wingman Katie Pavlich tweeted this yesterday in response to this. She said, Obama wingman Eric Holder, who was held in contempt of Congress by Republicans and Democrats, whose DOJ gave thousands of guns to narco-terrorists who used those guns to kill hundreds, has serious thoughts about Bill Barr. Fast and furious, anybody?
Could you please repeat?
Fast and furious? Contempt of Congress. Voted in contempt by Democrats and Republicans, both. And fast and furious. He had to step down. And he is a guy who has something to say. Eric Holder is Obama's wingman. He is helping Obama with his All on the Line campaign to redraw voting districts. He is still a cohort, a partner in crime. So of course he would step forward and say terrible things about someone who's actually doing things to correct what he did to America. Christmas, and welcome back to the Daily Perspective.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Ah, Michael Bublé. It is a Friday edition of the podcast, the 13th day of December 2019, counting down to Christmas Day. It is a gray day in our neighborhood. I hope things are sunny where you are. Hey, I appreciate you listening. I try to say it as often as I can. I really do. Thank you so much for jumping in on Facebook Live or subscribing to the podcast. I'm glad you listen whenever and wherever that may be, and I'm thankful for you sharing with your friends. Oh my. You know, it occurred to me, I talk about that first segment and things being absurd, the stories absurd, and all of the stories coming out of Washington, D.C. especially, are... They're adventures in absurdity. And like I say, you have a decision to make about absurdity. You can either be angry about it or embrace it and enjoy it for what it is. And I tend to do a little bit of both. And I think we all do. Sometimes we just get angry that things are as absurd as they are because how did it get this way? But at the same time, you have to shake your head and laugh. Wow, look what they did. What idiots. So you have to see things from the proper perspective. And some make it easier than others. For example, this on the surface will probably tick you off. But when we get through, hopefully not. Democrat Representative Hank Johnson of Georgia. He's known for his infamous Guam may capsize moment from several years ago. He imagined a disturbing image during the Democrats' impeachment hearing on the House Judiciary Committee yesterday. As he spoke about President Donald Trump kidnapping the daughter of Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and tying her up with duct tape in a basement, Johnson made the remarks while attempting to push back on the notion that President Zelensky was weak, saying, well, I'll tell you, that brings to mind the picture of President Trump and President Zelensky meeting in New York in September at the UN, and a big chair for President Trump, little chair for President Zelensky. big 6'4" President Trump, 5'11" President Zelensky, and they're standing there. President Trump is holding court, and he says, "Oh, by the way, no pressure." Johnson continued, "And you saw President Zelensky shaking his head as if his daughter was downstairs in the basement, duct taped." I mean, there's an imbalance of power in that relationship. It always has been. And there's no way that the nation of Ukraine can stand up to the power of the United States of America. And President Trump used that unequal bargaining position. He leveraged his power in that relationship, not for the benefit of the United States of America, but for his own benefit. Well, shortly after Johnson made the remarks, the White House fired back on social media by writing on Twitter, "Just in, Democrats want to impeach the president for checks notes being too tall." The White House then posted a picture of President Trump and President Zelensky sitting side by side at the meeting. Johnson claimed Trump had a much bigger chair than Zelensky. It clearly shows that the two leaders had the exact same chair. Johnson's well known over remarks he made during a House Armed Services Committee meeting in 2010 when he questioned Admiral Robert Willard, the commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, about the impact of increasing the number of U.S. troops on the island of Guam. And I actually have that audio right here. A little bit of a heads up. It is distorted, but it came that way. Every recording I found of it is overmodulated. It's distorted. But just, it's a minute and 40 seconds, and I got to be honest with you, it's painful to listen to until the end, because the payoff is worth it.
This is a island that at its widest level is, 12 miles from shore to shore? And at its smallest level,
you can't even think of the words.
Location, it's 7 miles between.
Maybe he should back away from the martinis at lunch.
Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest.
Just in case you didn't understand the first time you went through this.
About 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000.
The look. The look on Admiral Robert Willard's face is just precious. It's just like, did he really just say the island of Guam might capsize? Oh my gosh. Oh, that is just so good. It's just too good, you know?
That's messed up.
Oh, yes, it is messed up. Oh,
what a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. You cannot take this man seriously. You just can't. Johnson, who claimed this week he didn't support impeaching Trump until the Democrats began their impeachment investigations into him a couple of months ago, directly compared the president to Nazi leader Adolf Hitler back at the beginning of this year. Quote, Americans elected an authoritarian, racist, anti-immigrant strongman to the nation's highest office. Americans, particularly black Americans, can't afford to make that same mistake about the harm that could be done by a man named Hitler or a man named Trump. Johnson also mocked Trump supporters, saying Donald Trump and his Make America Great Again followers are older, less educated, less prosperous, and they are dying early. Their lifespans are decreasing, and many are dying from alcoholism, drug overdoses, liver disease, or simply a broken heart. This man keeps getting reelected to office. This complete and utter imbecile keeps getting reelected to office. And that's the absurdity. This man who actually said he was concerned about Guam capsizing, an island in the Pacific. He was afraid it was going to get unbalanced and flip over. Lots of people going to drown. This man. First off, claiming he didn't support impeaching Trump until the Democrats began their impeachment investigation into him a couple of months ago. That's a bald-faced lie. He's been on board, just like all of the Democrats have been on board, for 2.5 years. Remember, Nancy Pelosi admitted this, that the impeachment investigation has been going on for 2.5 years. He's been on board for 2.5 years. He's been lying about Donald Trump. Authoritarian? No. He's just following the Constitution and his authority granted to him by the Constitution in the office of president. Racist? No. There is zero evidence that the man is a racist. None. There's a lot of it. There are accusations, but there's no proof that the man is racist. He's employed minorities for decades, and not just as housekeepers in hotels, but people in powerful positions in his businesses. Anti-immigrant? He's married to an immigrant. He's not anti-immigrant. He's anti-illegal immigrant, just as the majority of Americans are. Hank Johnson is a race-baiting, lying, manipulative, leftist Democrat. And bless his heart, he's an idiot. I encourage you to look up on YouTube. Go to YouTube today and put in the search bar Matt Gaetz, G-A-E-T-Z, Matt Gaetz, the representative from Florida, the senator from Florida, and Al Sharpton. Matt Gaetz, Al Sharpton. There's a video that will come up, and you will see Hank Johnson in that video, as well as Sheila Jackson Lee, the bonehead from Houston, Texas. You'll see both of them and others, and watch the way these progressive Democrats, treat Matt Gaetz in his questioning of Al Sharpton. Also, Al Sharpton. The way Al Sharpton responds to these questions. Watch. And you will see, right there in front of your own eyes, exactly how little respect and how little regard these people, these progressive Democrats, have for anyone but members of their own club. Watch them twist, manipulate, misrepresent, and completely disrespect Matt Gaetz. Look it up today. Matt Gaetz, Al Sharpton, YouTube. Watch it for yourself. It'll give you a better grip on what's really happening in Washington, D.C. today. More after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Thank you so much for being there. It is, let's see, we're diving into this final segment. Hey, 10 minutes or so left. A couple of things before we go. First up, Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham, the Republican from South Carolina, said yesterday he wants the Democrat-led impeachment sham process to end quickly. He said to Bill Hemmer and Sandra Smith on America's Newsroom on Fox News yesterday, he'd like to end the impeachment process as soon as possible. Quote, I don't want to give it any legitimacy because it's a crock, he said, noting that every impeachment except this one has been conducted by outside counsel. He's right about that. There has been outside counsel. Remember Ken Starr, outside counsel. And the others before, outside counsel. But the Democrats didn't do that because what they're doing is not legal. Moving on. Earlier this week, the House Democrats announced two articles of impeachment against President Trump, alleging abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. On Thursday, the Judiciary Committee began day two of its impeachment markup, and after members debate and vote on proposed amendments to the articles, is expected to send them to the House floor for a debate and vote next week. To convict the president and remove him from office, two-thirds of the Senate's vote is required. Graham said, this is being driven by Democratic partisans. It's being rushed. There's no due process. Abuse of power. If you're looking for it, my Democratic House colleagues, look in the mirror. I hope that we'll look at the record they use to impeach the president. If they get 218 votes, that'll be the trial record. Let the House manager present their case. Let the president's lawyer comment on the case. Then vote. My goal is to end this as soon as possible for the good of the country because I think it's a danger to the presidency to legitimize this. And Hammer asked, does that mean no witnesses at all? And that's because so many people are saying you need to call Adam Schiff. You need to dig up the whistleblower and get them out there so that they're in public. You need to get all these people who are responsible for all of this illegality, and you need to put them on display. He said, I don't need any witnesses at all. I'm ready to go. He added that the issue of Hunter Biden's work in Ukraine can be addressed outside of impeachment hearings. Hammer shot back, in terms of time, is it a week? Is it 2 weeks? Is it a month? What is it? And Graham said it's closer to a week for sure. The trial records should be the documents that they use for impeachment in the House. No more, no less. I'm not interested in any witnesses. This thing is a sham. I want to get it over with. I see where he's coming from. He doesn't want to give it any legitimacy because it is illegitimate. And I also understand the sentiment that these people who did this, these frauds who committed this fraud, need to be exposed. They need to be pulled out into the daylight so people can actually see for themselves what's really going on. And you can rest assured, if that happened, that the news networks who gave the House almost 24/7 coverage, every word breathlessly hung on by commentators at CNN and MSNBC and the like, they wouldn't give that process but a few minutes a day. Moving on to the article I mentioned by Victor Davis Hanson, published yesterday in PJ Media. The title of the article is Trump the only adult in the room? Donald Trump certainly is mercurial at times. He can be uncouth. But then again, no president in modern memory has been on the receiving end of such overwhelmingly negative media coverage and a three-year effort to abort his presidency, beginning the day after his election. Do we remember the effort to subvert the Electoral College to prevent Trump from assuming office? The first impeachment try during his initial week in office? Attempts to remove Trump using the ossified Logan Act or the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution? The idea of declaring Trump unhinged, subject to removal by invoking the 25th Amendment. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's 22-month, $35 million investigation, which failed to try to find Trump guilty of collusion with Russia in the 2016 election and failed to find actionable obstruction of justice pertaining to the non-crime of collusion. The constant endeavors to subpoena Trump's tax returns and to investigate his family, lawyers, and friends. Now, frustrated Democrats plan to impeach Trump, even as they are scrambling to find the exact reasons why and how. Most presidents might seem angry after 3 years of that. Yet, in paradoxical fashion, Trump suddenly appears more composed than at any other time in his volatile presidency. Ironically, Trump's opponents and enemies are the ones who have become publicly unhinged. Leading Democrat presidential candidate Joe Biden recently had a complete meltdown while campaigning in Iowa. Biden called a questioner who asked about his son Hunter's lucrative job with the Ukraine energy company a damn liar. And an animated Biden also challenged the 83-year-old ex-Marine and retired farmer to a push-up contest or a foot race. Representative Gerald Nadler, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, fared little better. On the first day of his committee's impeachment inquiry, Nadler stacked the witness list by bringing in three left-wing law professors as opposed to one Republican centrist witness, as if partisan academics might sway the nation. None of the three presented any new information or evidence. All three seemed angry, petulant, and condescending. At least one came into the proceedings with paper and video trails of anti-Trump animus. The nadir came when one of the witnesses, Stanford law professor Pamela Carlin, was reduced to making fun of the president's 13-year-old son. At one point, Nadler appeared to fall asleep while chairing the hearing. Nadler's Judiciary Committee was supposed to be empowered by the House Intelligence Committee's impeachment report, but the contents of that report were overshadowed by the revelation that Representative Adam Schiff, chair of the Intelligence Committee, had obtained data on the private phone calls of ranking Republican House Intelligence Committee member Devin Nunes, Trump attorneys Rudy Giuliani and Jay Sekulow, journalist John Solomon, former Giuliani associate Lev Parnas, and others. Schiff had obtained the data via congressional subpoena. If the chairman of a committee overseeing an impeachment inquiry is secretly digging into the phone records of his own colleague, a reporter, and the personal attorney of the President of the United States, how can anything he reports be trusted? House Speaker Nancy Pelosi held a press conference to announce plans to proceed with articles of impeachment, but she would not say which particular charges would be brought against the president. Then Pelosi lost her cool and shook her finger at a reporter who simply asked her, "Do you hate the president?" At that point, a furious Pelosi shouted back, "Don't mess with me." She then retreated behind the shield of her religion by lecturing the questioner that as a good Catholic, she was simply too moral to be capable of hatred. Pelosi finished her sermon by boasting that she prayed for the unfortunate Trump. At a NATO summit in London, Trump was playing the unaccustomed role of NATO defender by challenging French President Emmanuel Macron's curt dismissal of the alliance. Macron said NATO is experiencing brain death. Meanwhile, in an unguarded moment, a few heads of NATO nations crowded around Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau as he chattered and ridiculed Trump in the fashion of a gossipy teen, unknowingly being recorded on video, much to the delight of Trump's critics back home. The common denominator of all this petulance is exasperation over the inability to derail Trump. Trump's many enemies fear that he will be reelected in 2020. Given a booming economy and peace abroad. They know they cannot remove him from office, and yet they fear that the more they try to stain him with impeachment, the more frustrated and unpopular they will become. Yet, like end-stage addicts, They simply cannot stop the behavior that is consuming them. I think Victor Davis Hanson sums this up very nicely. This is exactly what's going on. The Democrats, like end-stage addicts, can't stop the behavior that is consuming them. As I mentioned from time to time, this behavior is typical of progressives. They latch on to a plan, and they don't let go of it. It doesn't matter that their plan is causing the ship to sink. They'll blame everyone else for the fact that the leaks are getting bigger and the water is getting deeper. But they won't let go of the plan. It's all someone else's fault that it's going awry. When the plan itself is deeply flawed, and in the real world can in no way possibly succeed, they still keep pushing with the plan and blaming others for their failures. And that's what we're watching happen right now. Time to go. Been a great week. Thank you so much for being there. We'll see you back again Monday morning for the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Have a great weekend. God bless. Bye-bye.
We'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?